Hello, and thank you for tuning in with Revival Time Preaching on Open Door Baptist Church website or web radio station and broadcast. And today the message will be given by Brother Brian Davis. And we'll be starting off today with a prayer before we start anything. And this will be the first in a many of series of Faith and Revival. Faith and Revival. And this would be following the first message on revival and is it possible? And yes, sirs, yes, it is. So faith and revival, and we'll pray, and then we'll ask God to do a great work. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come before you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done so far today. I thank you for the souls saved this week, Lord. We saw 20, and I want to praise you for it and thank you. Lord, I just ask that you'd use this time, Lord, that you'd bless it, Lord, and use it according to your glory, Lord, and for your purpose, Lord, and you promised, Lord, that your word would not return void, Lord. And I just ask and we trust in you, Lord, that you do a great work, Lord. And I just thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first of the series on faith and revival, the title will be According to Your Faith Be It Done Unto You. This is out of Matthew 9:29. So I'll start with that and we'll go from there. It says, then touched her, this is Jesus speaking, then touched her their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. And the fact is that God will only work according to our faith. We do not have revival or changed lives because, one, we don't have the faith and we live in an Aryan time of unbelief. And this is crippling our churches, our homes, our houses, and our walks with God because we do not have faith in the things that God has called us to have faith in. So we do not have revival or changed lives. Why? Because of a faithless and perverse generation. And that we live in such a way in land of unbelief. If you want to flip with me to Matthew chapter 17. And then we'll go from there. I'm going to show you something out of God's word that is so very important and so often missed, I believe, in this generation. Lord, but it says in chapter 17, verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then Jesus came and his disciples, Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. And I think that is exactly what the problem is in our nation and in our churches today, is that there is this substance of unbelief. We go to church and we expect God to do great things, but we don't go believing. We don't go expecting. We don't expect our lives to be changed or those around us to be changed. We just simply go there out of ritual. We fill our 18 inches of pew and still see nothing change. We see nothing change in our lives because our prayer lives are weak and we have no faith. And we just lack and suffer what God has called us to have most definitely in order. In order just to be believers, we had to have a substance of faith. But we're supposed to grow in faith and add to our faith. And faith is so absolutely important that we must have it in order for revival to come. We must give ourselves over to this faith and its working and adding to faith. Is there still faith on the earth? Jesus asked when he was speaking to his disciples. And he said, would there be faith on this earth when he came? And that is also out of Luke 18, verse 8. No, it's not out of Luke 18, verse 8. But he did also say that there was a time that before the Son of Man would come, would he find faith on the earth? And he feared that he would not. And I do believe at times that we are living in those last days of faithlessness and that there is no faith. And that there's no faith to be found on the earth. No faith in the hearts of Christians. Are we living in those days? I plead with you and beg with you that I believe that we are not living in those days. But I honestly and do with all my heart know that if we don't go before God and do the things that are required for us to have faith, then we will not have faith. And the thing is, God will give us faith, but it has to be earned. We have to do it through God's word and studying of God's word by yoking up with Jesus Christ. It says, if you take my yoke upon me, you will learn of me. And these are ways that we will grow in faith and by our tithe and doing the things faithfully. If we do those things, we will grow in faith. We must have faith for revival to come. Because if we have no faith in God, then God is unable to move. Because Jesus always worked according to the faith. He said, according to your faith be it unto you. And that's also obviously in Hebrews 11:6. If you go to turn there with me, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So simply, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Jesus Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to be saved. Without faith, we cannot expect anything great of God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That we must believe that God is who he is, and that God says what God says he will do, and that he is able to do. But we must go with faith. If we go without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says, and that he that is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And we continually seek him in faith and by the product of faith and through faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we must not be this faithless generation, but we must be like the woman who asked for her child to be healed. He said, according to your faith, be it undone to you. And the fact is that God has always worked historically through the Bible according to people's faith. The fact is, when they had no faith, they would fall upon other different things, governments, systems, other armies to do their bidding and to do their work. And all they needed was faith and repentance. But right now we're talking about faith and revival. Their faith was necessary, their faith in God, their faith for that God would do something real. And the fact is, first, I fear that God hasn't brought revival, and that revival has not happened in this nation, in this day and time, in our age. Is because, my point one being, because of their unbelief, Jesus did no great works there. And that's in Matthew 13, verse 58. I'll turn there, and if you want, you can turn with me there, who's listening there at home. And I'd also like to thank you for this opportunity once again, that you'd be faithful to come here and listen to God's word preached, Lord, that it would, that your heart would be stirred. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, and he did many mighty works there, or Jesus did not, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And Jesus went to this town to do great works that he could also heal there. His ability of healing wasn't stopped because of the borders of their town. His ability to teach and teach repentance and help them to be born into the kingdom of God. His ability to go there and see people saved and see people's lives changed and see people come to the glory and the knowledge of God. God was able to open their eyes and make blind people there see. God was able there to heal those who were lepers. God was there to raise those who were dead. God was able to do great works in that town, but he was unable to because of their lack of belief. And once again it said, and he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. I fear so often, just for this town that we're in Des Moines, Washington, that people are not able to see anything great done by God. Why? Why is nothing great done? Because they have no belief. They have no belief. Because there's no belief, they also have family and friends and loved ones that they see daily, but they have no belief that God who saved them could also save them. They don't claim and beg and ask God for any promises because, once again, they have no belief that God could do anything. And without our belief, God is unable to move and to do anything. The fact is that we just need a little faith, a little belief in God. And the fact is, what happens so often is, when you got saved, when that day came, when somebody came to you with the Bible and sat down, if nobody has and you are listening, please get a hold of our church and you'll find out about it. But the fact is, you can get a hold of us and somebody will from our church tell you how you can be saved. But a lot of you who are out there listening, who are saved and who know Jesus Christ, the fact that somebody sat down with you one day with the Bible and showed you from God's word what was necessary for salvation. And the fact is, you didn't need a lot of belief. You didn't need the belief to part the Red Sea or move a mountain. You just needed a little bit of faith, just a little bit of faith. Just a little faith that God would save you. And then that's when you called upon him in your heart. And you asked him, you said, you didn't even know the words to say. And somebody probably even helped you, but you just said, dear Lord, save me. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I'm trusting in you, Jesus, and you only. And the moment that you did that, that little bit of faith, God honored that little bit of faith. And he came into your life and he cleansed your sin and gave you a home in heaven. But he would not be able to do that if not your faith. Because it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says, who these things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. And it's a simple fact of believing. It didn't say how much faith. It just said the simple fact of believing. And once again, I'm going to read that again because the Bible, and the Word of God is so important. If anything, I want you to get that today and the fact that your faith is essential for revival to come in this land. It says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Just because of their unbelief, God was not able to do anything great there. Oh, Des Moines. Oh, Washington. Oh, America. Oh, Christian. Do you lack with unbelief? Do you not have belief? Do you lack in what is necessary to please God? Do you not have the belief that is necessary for God to do great things? If you go to Mark with me, I want to be turning to Mark chapter 6, please. If you're following along with me with your Bible, if not, just listen in the car, and you can trust in me to get there. I'll get you there, I promise. But if you're going, if you're listening, now we're on Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. And it said, and when thou prayest, those shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners and the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, for when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. And I just believe I gave you the wrong verse. And I read in Matthew, which is very important. I'm going to go to Mark now. I'm sorry about that. That's in Mark 6. Good thing it's according to my notes I'm looking at and referring to the Bible, because you would all be in trouble. But Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. As I'm going there right this very second. Mark 6, and it says... verses 5 and 6, it says, and he said, and he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. And said the fact that God, Jesus, could do no mighty works in that town. He could not, and there was no way that he was able to, simply because the fact is they had no belief. See, there was a few that had some belief, and they got the blessing, and they got healed. But the fact is that there was no abundance or no true belief in God, except for a few. He could do no great work. And what I'm wondering is, because of our unbelief, and we live in a generation of unbelievers and those who don't really know or haven't proved or test God, so they have no substance to their belief, that Jesus could do no great works here, that Jesus could not bring revival. I tell you that if we do have belief and we do cling upon the promises of God, that we will have a revival and that God will move in this land, that this land will be healed, and Christians will have assurance and strength and faith in their Lord and their Jesus. But it says, according to your faith be done unto you. I want to show you that Jesus always worked according to man's faith, to women's faith, to people's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you want to go to Matthew 8 with me, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, I'll start at. And it says, let's see here. Man, I am, go to Matthew 8:10, as I said before. And it says, and Jesus heard it, and he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith in all Israel. And this was to do with the central and son, the fact that, his son, that he was ill and he was sick. And the simple fact was, Jesus said, I'll go with you because you believe me and I'll heal your son. And he said, I'm the man underneath of authority. And if I tell one man to go, he goes. And I tell another one to come, he comes. He says, you say it. You say it, Jesus. And I'll believe you that he'll be healed. And my faith, I believe that you can do it, because I know you also are a man that has authority, and those that are under you, and yet you are capable to rebuke that spirit. And faith, according to his faith, God healed him and added to his son and healed him. And he believed, and Jesus marveled at his faith, how great it was. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, Matthew 9, verse 22, and Jesus turned him about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole. Thy faith, Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. That was somebody else going to Jesus, asking for a miracle. They asked, they went to Jesus. And Jesus said, Your faith had made you whole. Not your actions or jumping around or doing anything crazy or running in the streets or sacrificing. The simple thing was your faith. Your faith in Christ would make you whole. And the fact is, Jesus is always moved historically, and God has always moved historically according to the faith of the people who followed him. If you go to Matthew 15 with me, as I'm flipping there right now. Matthew 15, verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto her, O great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. And this is the woman who went pleading for her daughter's illness. And he said, because of your faith, be it thee even thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. And the fact was, Jesus needed that faith. They needed to have faith that God would. And because they had faith God would, God did. And that's how it has to work, is the fact that Jesus has always worked according to the faith. Thy faith had made thee whole. I marveled at how great your faith was. I've not seen a greater faith in all of Israel. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Matthew 15, verse 28. And that says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O great is thy faith, and it be even thou wilt to you. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Then if you want to go to Luke chapter 7, verse 50, as I'm turning there right now. But it's according to her faith that God can do anything. It's according to what we have, and that faith that we have in God, that God will, is according to how God will move. If we lack faith, God will not move. He cannot move. He's hindered by our faith. And it's not the fact that God is incapable of it, but that's what God has chosen, that substance of faith to move us, to allow us to go before his throne. And it says in verse 7, verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And the simple faith that she had, God was able to move and to save her. And God was able to move and then forgive her sins. And it was the fact that's what happened, like I said before, with you when you were a Christian. If you had no belief in God and didn't believe that God would save you, you'd still be unsaved today. But because you had faith in God and that he would save you according to his word, and you believe that, it's another way that we get faith is by the word of God. But the simple fact is, we went there and we said, yes, Jesus, I believe you. I'll take you on your word. If you're listening to preaching right now, you have faith that it will change your lives, that it will do something for you. But I fear because of your unbelief, and the unbelief in this generation, the fact that they lack belief that Jesus could do no great works there. The fact is, Jesus even marveled at the unbelief of his disciples, those who followed closely with him, that Jesus would not be able to see them do any great works. That the fact that he imparted them to heal, to do great works, but they had no faith in him. So what happened was no faith in what God could do. So because of that, God could not heal them. God could not use them to be healing, to be brought. The fact is, he marveled at his disciples' unbelief. When we're not his disciples, we didn't walk with Jesus. But I do know that he does walk with us, and he talks with us, and he leads us on our way, and he's in our heart. And I know he's living because he's in our heart. But the simple fact is, if that's all you have and you don't act out in faith, then you are cheating of the blessings that this nation could have. The fact that revival could come. According to your faith, be it done unto you. And Jesus said, all we need is faith. The faith of a mustard seed is my next point. All we need is the faith of a mustard seed. A little bit of faith. A little bit of faith in Jesus. A little bit of faith to trust in Jesus that he will. The fact is, I tell you, dear Christian, that he is more than able to, but we have to go in faith, expecting that God will do something. And it goes, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and be yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And the fact is, that's what Jesus said. All he said that you needed to do, he didn't say that you needed great faith, impossible faith, huge faith, faith that you would be willing to stand and jump and abound, and that it would have to be this huge thing. He just said all you needed was a little faith, just a little faith, the faith of a grain of a seed of mustard, which is the smallest of all the herbs. This little tiny seed, like the size of a BB, not very large. And we see this little seed, this little tiny seed of faith. And if we were to take that little seed of faith and ask, believing that God would, and knowing that God would, and we just asked him and said, Dear Lord, I know my nation is sick. Lord, I know I have sin that's unrepented in my life. I know my heart is dirty before you, Lord. I have not come clean to you, Father. But I ask you, dear Jesus, to forgive me, to forgive my land. I ask that your spirit would fall and that people would be saved and Christians would be renewed to you, Lord, that they would search their hearts and know them and teach them if there's any cleanliness in them, if there be any wicked way in them, and take them and lead them to the way of everlasting. That people in my streets would be saved, and the governors and the people of the land would be changed, Father. I know you can. Lord, I know you can save my father. You can save my mother, Lord. I know you're capable. I just know you have that ability and power. You prove yourself. I know you can. As you save my soul, you can save those around me. I know that you can help me to lead people to Christ. I know that you can help me to have faith to go before you on my knees and beg for a revival, to beg for a double portion of your spirit, to beg you to move to heal this land, that you'd be attentive and hear our prayers. And the thing is, that's all we need is just a little bit of faith, just a little tiny bit. We don't need nothing great. He didn't say, according to your huge faith. He said, according to your faith that I've healed you. According to your faith, be it done unto you. And he said, you know, thy faith have saved you. It was just a simple fact of a little faith, a little trust in Jesus. And if you want to go and turn with me to Jeremiah 33, please, if you're listening at home. If you're in a car or out walking, please don't try to do it. You might stumble or crash. But Jeremiah 33, verse 3. This is a promise of God, but we need faith in order to do it. We need faith that God will do it. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And the simple fact is that we need to call upon God. We need to call upon Christ. We need to call upon the Father to do great and mighty works. And that we know that he will do these great things. But we have to go in faith, believing, knowing that God will. We need to step out in faith and put God on the spot to move. And he will. So what he did with Elijah, when he went up and he went and he said, you know, this is the prophet, the bell. And he said, you cut up the sacrifice and I'll lay the bullock here. And you do what you want and call upon your God. And at that moment, he put a demand on God. And he did that according to his faith, knowing that God would. The simple fact is that we need to do that as well, Christians. That we need to put a demand on God, but we have to do it in faith, knowing that God will. That God is more than able, that God is more than capable. And it says, according to your faith, be done unto you, is the key thought of this. And if God were to do something according to your faith in this nation, if God were according to do something in your life personally, to a loved one, would God say, according to your faith, would anything happen? Would anything change? Would you be different? Would the person around you be different? Would there be a reason or a purpose for God to move? Or would it be according to your faith, that little faith that you did not have? And because you did not have faith, because you lacked faith, what was most important to please God, God would be unable to move. That God would not be able to do mighty works in your life, to do mighty works in your life, to do mighty works around the people you know, to do mighty works in your church, to do mighty works in the town that you live in, the district you live in, the town that you live in, the city that you lived in, the state that you lived in, the country that you lived in, the world that you live in. God would not be able to do anything great because you lacked the simple essence of faith and asking, because God promises right here that if we call upon him, he will show us great and mighty works which thou knowest not. But we have to ask in faith, expecting. That's the thing, because Jesus works, God works according to our faith. The fact is, I fear, and I really don't believe that that's everybody out there listening, but I'd ask to challenge yourself, do you have faith in God? Is your faith real, or would God have to move somewhere else? Is America dying and desperate because us Christians have not gone with the faith that that's required of us for God to do great and mighty works? The thing is, I want to beg of you to go before God and ask for faith. I beg you to suffer through trials that God would add to your faith by proving himself and by you getting patience and experiencing hope. And I also I'd beg you to read your word, the word of God, and study the word of God and hear the word of God, that faith would come by it. I ask that God would, that you'd go to God and ask him to increase your faith, that if God were to move according to your faith, that if faith would be according be done unto you, that it would be great and mighty works that God would do. And I know that he can. I know that he is able, because he's the Lord thy God and he changes not. And the revival could happen as it did yesteryear, as it can today, as it can tomorrow. Revival could fall at any time. So the question I have for you is, do you have faith in God, O Christian? Are you trusting in the living God, the one who bought you with his precious blood, who redeemed you at Calvary, who is now the roaring lion of Judah? Do you have faith in this God, the creators of the heavens and the earth? Do you have faith in this God, this great God, who scattered the heavens, who scattered stars, who has them by name, who knows how many hairs you have on your head, that he sits on the circumference of the earth, this great God who weighs the hills in the balance, and the fact that every nation is but a drop in a bucket? Do you have faith? Is Israel lacked faith? Do you not have the faith that is necessary? I beg of you to have faith in God. Do you have the faith in God? Do you have the faith to ask? Because we must ask to receive. First, we must ask God. We must ask him. We must ask him. We must ask him again and again and again. We must ask him to do a great work. Then we must knock and knock and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. But the fact is, we have to have faith to ask. We must have faith in God. If God were to move according to your faith, would we have revival? Would revival come to this land? Or would we lack it and we would be without? That's the question you need to ask. Your nation desperately needs you. And it's not going to come by the heathen or the unsaved. It's going to come by the Christian. Oh, Christian, thou the born-again believer in God, washed and sanctified in his blood, will you humble yourself and pray and believe and have faith that God will bring revival to this land? Will you ask him? Will you ask him? Will you make it a prayer that you have every day of your life, that God would do something real, that God would change your lives, that God would help, that God would help you, would help you, would help you, would change you and crush you and mold you and melt you to what was absolutely necessary, that revival come, that you'd be an instrument of God for revival, that you'd be a convolent of his glory, his grace and his mercy? Would you, O Christian, I ask you, would you just go before him and ask him right now, just to bow your head and ask him to do something real, that he would change and give you faith? Ask in faith and wait on the Lord. I promise you, he will come through. He promises by his word. He cannot refuse what his word says. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That is a promise from God Almighty, the creator of the universe and the heavens and the earth. So again, do you have faith in God, O Christian? Do you have the faith to ask, believing that he would? Do you know that he would? Do you have, if God were to move according to your faith, Christian, would he do a great work? Would your life be changed? Would the life of others be changed around you? Would a revival come inside you? Because revival must happen within us before it can happen outside of us. But we have to ask in faith. And we have to ask in faith and wait on the Lord and be patient for him to move. Because he doesn't move according to our time, but he moves according to his time. And I beg of you to have faith that revival might come. And if you're there listening right now, I'd ask that you bow your heads. And I want to pray, and I ask of you to respond and ask God to do something. So I'd ask that you bow your heads right now. Dear Lord, I thank you for this chance, Lord, that we would learn about faith and revival, Lord, that you are the true and only God, the faithful God and creator, that you are unchanging, that your word is true, and that we can have faith by your word and through your word, Lord, that we can be cleansed and washed with it, Father. Lord, I ask that if I have unbelief, if they have unbelief in their heart, Lord, that they would confess it, Lord, and that you would remove that unbelief. And if they don't have belief and they don't know you, Lord, that they would realize that they are sinners and they can't save themselves. Only Christ can save them. It's only by trusting in him and what he did on the cross to take away their sins. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody, Lord. But I ask for our Christians who are saved and who do know God and who are saved and who have a home in heaven and a residence there, that they would address the fabric of their heart and see if there be any unbelief and ask you to remove it. And those who do have faith and want to grow in faith, I ask that they do the things necessary in the Word, which we'll talk about over the next couple of weeks, about faith and revival, what's necessary and what faith will do in revival. What I ask, Lord, that they would come after you and ask for you to increase their faith, that you'd give them reasons to have faith, even though how challenging and difficult that may be. And Lord, I also ask that they would read their word, Lord, that they'd be washed in the word and that the faith would come by your word, Lord, as you promised. And if anything, I just ask those who know that they have faith and have seen God do great works, that they would bow a knee and they would ask Jesus right now to move in this land, that they would make a promise, a commitment to God, that they would pray 10 to 15 minutes a week. 10 to 15 minutes a week is not a very big commitment. You could do that right now. You could do that when you get up in the morning, just asking God to help with the faith of this nation, to help with the faith of those who believe, to help their faith, and to ask in faith that God would heal this land and bring revival, and that God would do a great work. And I pray all this, and I thank you who are listening, and I thank you for all your faithfulness to God's word. And I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.